Well, again, good morning. Good morning. I don't know about you, but I've certainly enjoyed our music this morning for our musos. Really appreciated that. It's been great just seeing the different songs and just also with Gary sharing around communion. It seems everyone has kind of shared exactly what I was wanting to share, so we'll just make it very short this morning. But last week, I was over at Carmelite Gardens covering for Pastor Steve Keto as he was away, and they had invited me just to cover, and so I appreciate Andrew sharing. And it was a good time of worship last week. But last week, Carmelite Gardens, they said you have to share a few jokes, a little bit of laughter with the folks. So this is a gift from them to us this week, so I'm just going to share a few of these things. They said it was very Christmas appropriate, so I'll just leave it at that and go from there. But they passed along a few things saying, what kind of music do elves like best? And they said, rap music. What kind of money do elves use? Jingle bells. Yes, they get better. What's the first thing that elves learn at school? The alphabet. Now, for those, of course, with the recent Holden issue that's going on, But what type of cars do elves drive? Toyotas. So, there we go. The last one was, what kind of bread do elves make their sandwiches with? Shortbread. So, there you go. If you thought that was bad, well, they had more, but I said no. So, there we go. it's amazing when we come to Christmas, when we think of the laughter and the joy of a young couple 2,000 years ago being in very humble circumstance, but seeing this healthy baby boy in their arms and rejoicing. The amazement of that. One word which we have sung in one song, we have heard from, as Emily read from over in Luke, and we hear again and again, it's this word, behold, 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 behold the Savior, behold, what child is this? Behold, who is this child? We hear it again and again. The Hebrew, they use the word hanai for the word behold. The Greeks, they use the word I do, so you know, when it comes to a wedding, I do. It's what it sounds like, I do. But it's this idea of this, there's about to be a life-changing circumstance. There's a life-changing event just about to occur once this word has been spoken. It's that moment, perhaps, as a husband, as you've come home from work or you've sat down at the table and your wife is smiling and you know, you're young and you're in love, and she whispers across and says, guess what? We're expecting. And you are shocked and amazed, sometimes going, you know, I had heard one couple say, well, how did this happen? And that's another story. But there's all the responses for that joy of that moment of hearing that great news and then looking forward, as some people are, in just a few short days or weeks, to that special moment when that child is there in their arms. And again, we hear this word, behold, what child is this at Christmas time? What I'd like us to look at briefly this morning are five different things about Jesus which we behold at Christmas. Five things. Behold Jesus, the baby. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. These words were spoken over 700 years before Jesus' birth. They had been written down, and the Jewish people for 700 years had read, and they had listened, and they had waited. When will he come? When will this event be? And suddenly, in the stillness of a small village in Nazareth, an angel comes and reveals to Mary, Mary, behold, you will have a son. He'll be the Son of the Most High. You will call his name Jesus. Mary, it's happening. This long-awaited event is occurring. The King is coming. The Savior is coming. God with us. The Jews had been waiting. They had been wondering. And initially, even the thought that, how could God be with us? What kind of mystery was this that God was revealing to the Jewish people as they look forward, waiting and watching and wondering? And suddenly God reveals a baby, God in the flesh. Those cloths wrapped around him, that place in that manger, the baby is born, Jesus. Over in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called," what? "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Behold this great news. Behold this baby. Consider this baby Jesus coming to identify with us. I loved how Gary was saying about Jesus. He was literally a refugee. To be a foreigner in a strange land, going from being in Israel, having to flee with his parents fleeing with him, down to Egypt for a time, and then being able to return. Being able to identify with us in our moments of need where we feel like perhaps we're alone or we're in distress. We're heartbroken because of the loss of separation from others. Behold Jesus. He identifies with our frailty and with our weakness. Behold also Jesus, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, he made this amazing declaration in John chapter 1:29. He says, literally, behold the Lamb of God who, what? Who takes away the sins of the world. Everyone listen up. This is amazing news. Behold, he's going to take away the sins of the world. Everyone's waiting. This is like the trumpet call has gone out. Behold, the Lamb of God. Now for the Jewish people, remember, what can we compare it to? When we hear, or we turn on the radio, or we walk in, you know, Big W, or we go to the shops, and it's only October, but they're already what? You know, starting to put up the decorations. They're already trying to log off, get in now before Christmas and get your presents. You know, all these things are competing, and here we are. We're just a few days away from remembering, celebrating Christ's birth on the 25th. But for months in advance, there was this warning as we went into the shops, and they were telling us something. Behold, something's about to occur. Now, of course, they try and drag it out if they could all the year long. 364 days left till you can shop again. Get ready. But behold, the Lamb of God. The Jews, they had in their mind about the Lamb because they understood what it was being in Bethlehem, being in Nazareth, being in all these areas within Israel, that there was this sacrifice at Passover, that there was a Lamb which was without blemish, without spot, which was prepared and taken and offered up for the forgiveness of sin. They remember being in bondage in Egypt, and it was through the shed blood of the Lamb painted on the doorposts and on the door that the angel of death passed over, and they were eventually released. They were freed from bondage. They were covered over. The blood covered over their sin. And now, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Not just covers it over, but takes it away forever and for everyone. That's some amazing good news. That's an amazing different news which perhaps this Christmas that we focus on the first, on the babe, but we forget, as we were just remembering in communion for a few moments, about remembering about the Lamb of God. Remembering that the Lamb of God that we will see again, and we will sing these words. Us today, here, 2013, will sing these words in the future. Revelation 5:12 says this, and they will sing, worthy is the Lamb Jesus who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory and blessing. Behold Jesus, the Christ child, behold the Lamb of God, but also behold Jesus the man. Behold Jesus the man. There was that moment where Jesus, he had wandered and he had ministered with his disciples for 3 years and had eventually been arrested in the garden and taken from being in the garden to Jerusalem and brought before Caiaphas, the high priest, brought before Pilate, brought before Herod, back and forth for these multiple trials, and then eventually is before Pilate. And Pilate, the scripture says in John chapter 19, verse 5, it says, then Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to them, behold the man of God, the Son of Man. This man who was fully God was also fully man. The one who was beaten and bruised and had a crown of thorns and a robe and mocked and spat upon is the same one whom, as we will see, is the returning king. And yet, in that very moment, Jesus doesn't lash out. When we've been unjustly accused, when someone has done us wrong, when that person cuts us off for the third time going down Angus Road to try and get that car park in front of the church, I don't know how you did that over and over, going through the roundabout too many times. But when we get to that point in our day or in our week and we're just wanting to lash out, Jesus, when people lashed out at him, he'd done no wrong. He was innocent. They examined the evidence and Pilate found nothing wrong and wanted to let him go because there was nothing to convict him of. And yet they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus still had compassion. And the same compassion that they had seen that he had for the lepers and for when he healed the 10, but only one returned and said thank you and praised him and gave thanks for the healing. For the irreligious who wanted nothing to do with God and were far away, and yet he approached them just like the Samaritan woman at the well at noon, when no one else would go near, sitting with the sinners and the prostitutes and welcoming them and sitting with them and explaining about the kingdom of God and their place, sitting with the orphans, the widows, even with the oppressors as Jesus was taken before Pilate and around the soldiers, still displaying compassion even in those moments. He shows us the message of Christmas. God's love. God's unending love. Regardless of all the things which are thrown against him, he still loved us, even when we lashed out, and even when we weren't physically there, but those who were representing us nailed him to the cross, and the nails that went through his hands and through his feet were put there by us as well, too. And yet he still responded with love. Jesus the man. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him, Jesus the man, the iniquity of all of us. Jesus had to come in the flesh. He had to be born of a baby. He had to be the perfect Lamb of God because he had to be the man who would go and could take our sin. And that's all part of the Christmas story. As much as we remember through the breaking of bread and the cup, we need to remember that again at Christmas. If we push that out and we just focus on the baby in the manger, we're missing out on the story of Christmas. Behold the man, but behold the returning king. Behold the returning king. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says this, "Behold him, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Jesus, who was born in the manger 2,000 years ago in humble circumstance, is coming with a very different mindset and will be received in a very different way when he returns. And he says he's the soon and returning king. I don't know about you for soon, but sometimes I kind of think, well, 2,000 years is a long time. 1,000 years was a long time. Even for the Jews, as they waited 700 years before, when they'd first heard these words through the prophet Isaiah being revealed by God to him, and they waited and they didn't see it happen, and they waited and they didn't see it happen. And those who come since, and you know, in 1940, in the thick of the war, and people were wondering what will be the result. And they waited and they wondered, how will it end? Will Christ come now? It seems like the whole world is going up in flames. And then a few more years later, and the man makes it to the moon. Now, obviously, God is going to come. And we get to the 21st century and everything else that's gone on in the last few years. But Jesus says he's coming soon, because we're measuring in time and distance, but we need to remember that there are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today who are waiting so much more for the returning king. Our brothers and sisters who are in the Philippines, who have suffered through that typhoon and tsunami that hit them, living devastation and losing everything. Churches which had their roofs ripped off and flooded completely. People whose lives have lost everything, all the security they had saved, ripped away. Others around the globe who are facing persecution, who are orphans, who are widows, who are crying out, "God, when will you come? When will there be justice?" Will the soon returning king come today? And for us, we go, well, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe it won't make that much of a difference for us. But let's remember at Christmas, even more so, there's a whole world. There's a whole world that is needing us to play our part in caring and praying and being Jesus to them. And it might be even across the street this week. It might be our neighbor. It might be someone else whom God brings across in our path. But they need to know that there is a soon and returning king. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, and whose rider was named Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. His name was written on him that no one knows but he himself, and he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh was written the name King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Christ may come before we get to Christmas. Christ may come before the new year begins, and he will administer justice, and he will receive his children and those who follow and love him wholeheartedly. But But let's not be found, if it's today, if it's before Christmas, just waiting to check off the calendar or open up one more little Advent box and just thinking about it. Let's be doing something active about it too. Behold the baby. Behold the lamb. Behold the returning king. And finally, as Gary read before, Revelation 3:20, behold Jesus, the life giver. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm here and knocking. If you hear my voice, let me in. I will come in. And I will dine with you. I will eat with you and you will with me. And there will be this intimate fellowship and relationship. There will be life. And it won't be just filled with jingle bells and shortbread. It won't be filled with just eggnog, which I had again the other day and it was really good. But I can't even imagine what it'd be like to sit at the table with Jesus at the head and being offered the finest things that only He can give. He says that He's preparing a feast. He's preparing a table. He's preparing a place for each one of us. And we'll go to our own homes and we'll go and do our own things as we get close to Christmas, maybe on Christmas Day or New Year's, but are we looking towards that one meal? Are we looking towards that one time when we will sit down with Jesus? We'll see Mary, we'll see Joseph, we'll see Adam, we'll see all the others who come before, all those who waited for Him and all those who've waited since. And start asking them, what was it like? And they'll turn and they'll say, what was it like when you saw Him? We waited so long. We were so faithfully waiting and just passing on and being able to turn and say, because of your sacrifice, because of your faithfulness, and because of the message that you shared, that person, and I heard. This Christmas, behold Jesus. Behold the baby. Behold the man. Behold the lamb. Behold the returning king. But remember, He came to give life and give it what? To the half? To the full. Let's enjoy it with Him this Christmas and as His church as we close off in prayer. Father God, we want to give You thanks because Your love is amazing. You are not just a child, Jesus, that You came as the child, the Son of Man. You came to redeem us. You came to express and reveal God's love for us. You came to peel back the assumptions and expectations and miscommunications and all these other misconceptions that have gone on because of men's words and not Your words. And Jesus, would You help each one of us as individuals, as families, as people who love You, to be refreshed and fall in love with You again this Christmas? Would You help us to be Your tool and Your instrument, be used by You to reveal whether in our words, in our actions, the compassion that You have, not only for us, but for our neighbor, for the world, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are crying out, come, Lord Jesus. Come, soon returning King. Would that be our heart's cry as well? Lord, we give You all the praise because You are a gracious and awesome, mercifully, wonderfully giving God. We ask this in Christ's name.